Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
There's a high fly ball
from KMOX Sports.
That's it deep to left field, and it's a gunner.
Big fly, Nolan Arenado. There's a moment for you.
Welcome to the Meyer Jensen Sports Open Line.
And the driving jam time!
And the Billikens win this one.
Meyer Jensen, a personal injury law firm, because sometimes the gloves have to come off. MeyerJensen.com.
Comeback pattern caught! Touchdown! Kansas City!
Now, Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
All right, good to be with you guys. Welcome in to Thursday night. Going to be a little short edition of Sports Open Line tonight, as we have Thursday night football coming up after the top of the hour. The Jets and the Colts meeting in Indianapolis tonight. So we'll have that coming your way in just a little bit. We're going to jump around a bit this hour. I got a bunch of baseball things I want to get into. They're interesting little stories that have popped up just based on the news of the day and, you know, kind of stuff I like to get into anyway. So we'll start with some of that. May get into some of the Blues a little bit later on in the hour too, as they get back at it tonight, taking on San Jose after the shootout loss last night. So plenty of things to do. I do want to start with baseball, and I eventually here in about, I don't know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes or so, I want to dive into the whole catcher thing, you know, the Buster Posey, Yadier Molina thing. Because, of course, and I know I mentioned this on Twitter, and I'm going to stick to this, by the way, because, of course, you know, whenever somebody retires, whenever, you know, and you know, Buster Posey, we talked about it yesterday, Buster Posey calling it a career. I think it's a Hall of Fame career. In like olden time standards, it most certainly would not be. I think this is still true, but I don't think a position player has been elected to the Hall of Fame with fewer than 2,000 hits, and Buster Posey has 1,500 hits. But I do also understand that standards are changing, and rightfully so. I think having a decade or more as one of the premier players in the sport should be more than enough to be a Hall of Famer, and I think Buster Posey qualifies. And, you know, that immediately turned into, well, and of course, you know, I'm not even going to mention the outlets that mentioned it, but of course everybody's going to get fired up because somebody throws out on Twitter that Buster Posey was the best catcher of his generation. And like, okay, that's fine to say that. You know, we don't have to fight about it, though, because number one, there's no way to prove right or wrong one way or the other who is the best catcher of the generation. Because I look at Cardinals fans, you know, all of us that follow the team closely that have seen Yadi's career, you know, a lot of people are defensive because there are a lot of people out there that just don't understand catcher defense. And they don't understand it because it can't be put into a stat. And that's the problem. I'll address that part of it a little bit later on. But it's, you know, there's never going to be a unanimous agreement here. You know, I'm not saying today, I'm not going to make the case that Molina's better than Posey or Posey's better than Molina. I'm not going to bother with that. It's not the point. But I do want to get into how important it is to understand what you're talking about when you're talking about this particular position. And it's part of why I think Buster Posey's a Hall of Famer even though by all of the traditional standards, he wouldn't even be close in previous generations. He wouldn't even get a sniff. And we know that he wouldn't because somebody that has almost the exact same career, Thurman Munson, is not in the Hall of Fame. Same number of games, pretty much the same power, lower batting average, but similar total offensive production. Munson was a little bit more decorated defensively. Both of them had postseason World Series reputations, the whole deal. Well, Thurman Munson's not in, and Buster Posey, I think, will be because the standards are, again, rightfully changing. But we'll get into all that as we go through the show today, and I want to get into the defensive part, the part that is difficult to measure, and that's why nobody wants to account for it. Offense is easy. Everybody can look at offense because the numbers are right there. But how do you measure the impact of having the guy behind the plate for 150 pitches every single night when he plays? And what that does to the psychology of the pitcher and what that does to the other team's running game and all that. I mean, we'll get to that stuff a little bit later on in the show. I want to start with the Cardinals news today, and it's not breaking news. It's not shocking. I mean, we all knew it was going to happen, but the formality of it happened today, and that is that the team passed on the options for Matt Carpenter and Carlos Martinez. And, you know, to me, they're two different stories with these guys, and I want to touch on each story somewhat differently. You know, I mean, one of them, Matt Carpenter, was the unheralded prospect. This was the guy, you know, the fifth-year player out of TCU, wasn't really regarded as a big-time prospect, even in the minor leagues. And, you know, heck, even after his first couple of runs in the big leagues, especially like after 2012, for example, we weren't even sure if Matt Carpenter was an everyday player. But he proved that he was. So this is the guy that, well, again, was the unheralded guy out of college that turned himself into a damn good player for a very long time. The other one, Carlos Martinez, was the guy that was the highly rated prospect. He was the gifted one. He had, you know, top of the rotation stuff. When he was young, he was throwing close to 100 miles an hour and he could strike people out. And, you know, he had all this going for him. And yet, here we are with both of them. Now, again, they're completely different stories, but I think that's what's interesting about them. So let's just start with Carlos, because I think what we have with Carlos' story is really a disappointment. And not that he wasn't good. There was a period where Carlos was one of the 10 or 12 best starting pitchers in the National League. I mean, you look at 2015, 16, and 17, there weren't very many pitchers in the National League better than Carlos. You know, 14 and 7, 301, 16 and 9, 304, 12 and 11, 364. But at the time, just getting big strikeout numbers, you know, making 30, 32 starts and all of that. He had a three-year window where he was one of the best, and he was an all-star two times in those 3 years. And that's what his prospect rating, his prospect status kind of said he should be, right? When he was coming up as a prospect, he was supposed to be that guy. He was supposed to be the future ace, or at least, you know, someone that could fit in the top two or three spots in a quality rotation. And he was that. He was that for a few years. And then, unfortunately, it all started to come apart in 2018. And, you know, look, this is when we started getting all these other problems going on. With the shoulder problem and all, you know, once the physical problem started, it was pretty much all over. It wasn't quite. I mean, you know, in 2018, he made 18 starts, got hurt when he came back, ended up working out of the pen. And, he, you know, it wasn't a terrible year. I mean, he had a 3.11 ERA that year. And he was okay in 2019, working completely as a reliever because of the shoulder. Had 24 saves, 3.17 ERA. I mean, you know, he was a useful player, but still wasn't what everybody had hoped. And here he was, you know, just getting into his prime, getting into his late 20s, and everybody was hoping that he was going to be able to get back to being the starter that he was, and it never happened. 2020 was bad for Carlos, and look, it was bad for a lot of people, and it's hard to judge based on that. But then he come back into 2021, and it was, again, a disaster. I mean, command was a problem, eventually got hurt again, and, you know, that was it. And Carlos is out the door. But you have that. I think that's one of the things that is disappointing about it is it seemed like it had a chance to be good for a long period of time, right? I mean, you had Carlos, you know, basically ages 23, 24, 25 as one of the best around. You're like, man, this guy, he should be a part of this rotation for the next 5 or 6 years. And the next thing you know, you're starting to get physical problems and then lack of consistency and all of that. And unfortunately, he's just not picked it back up. And he doesn't look like the same guy. He doesn't pitch like the same guy. And who knows? Maybe, I mean, I do think, you know, there was always, even from the beginning, and even when Carlos was good, there were people that were always giving him a hard time about his personality. It was hair, it was how he acted on the mound and all that, and none of that ever mattered. What does matter, though, is being able to make pitches. And as soon as whether it was the physical side of it or the physical side of it basically demonstrating what the weaknesses were, you know, I mean, once you don't have 98 miles an hour on the regular, once you don't have that same lightning, it's a little bit, you have to be a little bit more precise, and he wasn't capable of being more precise as a pitcher. And, you know, it's too bad that he burned out as a Cardinal. And look, he's 29, you're actually just turned 30, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, Carlos just finished his age 29 season. He'll be 30 next year. I'm sure somebody's going to give him an invitation to spring training. I don't know if he's going to get a major league deal or not, but somebody will look at him and say, we'll give him a shot. But I don't know what's there. I don't know if he's got more in terms of getting healthy and building back some more of the raw stuff that he had. But what we saw in 2021, just that wasn't going to work under any circumstance. It was just too erratic, too inconsistent, and obviously we all saw how it ended. So that's the story for Carlos. Let's talk about Matt Carpenter when we come back, because there's not been, I'll tell you, between the two of them, you had two of the more controversial Cardinals when it comes to the fan base's perception of them. You know, we always had the problems with, you know, again, Carlos's personality was always something that bugged certain segment of Cardinals Nation. They didn't like the hair, they didn't like the flair, anything like that. And obviously, you know, when his performance dropped off, well, nobody liked those things even more. And Matt Carpenter was the opposite, right? I mean, this is a guy that was basically like the kind of guy you'd dream of for the Cardinal way, right? He was quiet, soft-spoken, you know, son of a coach, all that stuff. And yet he became one of the most controversial guys in the clubhouse, not because of him, it had nothing to do with what he did, but had to do with people evaluating the performance. Let's talk about Matt Carpenter when we come back on KMOX.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, so let's get back to a little bit more on the baseball side here, more of what's going on with the Cards. Of course, the roster is going to be a different, little bit different look, and it is every year. You know, there are always some changes. Some guys go, some guys get brought in. You know, we know how the cycle goes in baseball. But, you know, two guys that were significant parts of the Cardinals over the last 10 years are not on the team anymore. And they're not on the team anymore because performance dramatically declined. And obviously with Carlos, we just talked about all that went into that. And I want to spend some time on Matt Carpenter too. But what's interesting is they're very different profiles, right? Again, Martinez was for a lot of years the hot shot prospect that nobody could wait to see him. I was like, oh man, can't wait. I was like that. I can't wait to see Carlos. And then when you saw him, you were like, whoa, it's real. He's got it. He's got that electricity. He's got that stuff. And then eventually you saw him turn into one of the better starting pitchers in the National League. And it was just a flash in the pan, unfortunately. And again, it's certainly partly due to the injuries. I don't think he was ever a precise enough pitcher to get away with having lesser stuff. You know, I mean, like, he could get away with what he did when his stuff was filthy, nasty, rotten. And the less that stuff was filthy, nasty, rotten, the less that he could get away with just missing spots or, you know, getting behind or whatever. Well, you know, with Matt Carpenter, though, it's a completely different situation, right? I mean, Matt Carpenter, again, was kind of the Cinderella story, right? He wasn't a highly regarded guy being drafted out of college. Wasn't a highly regarded prospect, was never one of those guys ranked in the top 100 or anything like that, but he made himself into an all-star. I mean, this guy made the all-star team three times in a four-year window, from 2013 to 2016. He made the all-star team three times. It's a guy that finished in the top five in the MVP voting in 2013. He got MVP votes in two other seasons, too. Like, this guy is the opposite of that, but In the end, he also became kind of a villain. And not because of anything he did, but because obviously what he got paid and the fact that it didn't work out. I do think that a lot of what players are judged on, unfortunately, is the contract. And when the contract doesn't match the performance, that's going to make people angry, which is, again, fully understandable. But I wanted to address two things about Carpenter because, again, this is a guy that had a really good career for the Cardinals. I mean, the last 2 years have been really bad. I mean, I can't imagine he would say otherwise, man. I mean, if he looks up and hits .186 or .169 or whatever, I guarantee you he's not looking up and going, oh, yeah, it was fine. I know he knows what it was. Everybody does. It's not hard. It's back to that old thing we were talking about with, you know, offense versus judging defense. Offense is easy, man. It's easy to judge. It's easy to look at something and say, all right, well, here's what happened, and what did you get results? And the fact is that the results weren't there. But I wanted to get to really one main thing about Matt Carpenter, and it's the criticism that when he started to try to hit for more power, he quote-unquote ruined himself. And I would say the exact opposite of that. That's what actually made him the player that he was. His four best years were the years after he started hitting for more power. Now, that year in 2013 was pretty ridiculous, right? I think a lot of us looked at that and said, all right, you got dude hit 318, 392 on base, 55 doubles, 7 triples, 11 home runs. Like, all right, everybody was like, yeah, we'll take that. He only struck out 98 times. That's true, by the way. He only struck out 98 times in 717 plate appearances, which, by the way, was the most he had in any season in his career. And yeah, you know what? He definitely changed his approach, and the change came after 2014. And this is the part that, you know, I think everybody has to understand. In 2013, Matt Carpenter was an all-star. He had the MVP season. In 2014, it wasn't as great. It wasn't as great. Batting average dropped. Power was down. His slugging percentage dropped 100 points. He wasn't producing at the same level that he was in 2013. And I think it was that got him and the team thinking about change. Now, keep in mind that was age 28 season for Matt Carpenter. This guy was not exactly a young prospect, right? I mean, he was 25 when he was drafted. I'm sorry, not 20. Actually, he might have been 24 when he was drafted, but he was 25 when he made his major league debut, but that was only 7 games in 2011. 2012 was his first year on the big league roster. He was 26. You know, he had his big year at age 27. Age 28, he had a down year. And the team at that time was in a spot where they needed more power production. And he made a few tweaks. And, you know, it worked, man. You can argue all you want about it, but it worked. Because those next 4 years combined, he was as good as any guy hitting at the top of the order in Major League Baseball. I mean, you look at those 4 years, 2015 through 2018, 34% above average, slugged 500, averaged 30 home runs a year. Well, averaged 27 home runs a year, but 30 a year per 162 games. Yeah, he made a change, and it led to more strikeouts, and it led to eventually the shift becoming a problem. But I also think that, you know, one of my issues with this argument that the swing change or the approach change is what ruined him misses the point that, look, he also started having physical problems. And he started getting older, man. I mean, it's not a shock that age 33, 34, 35 seasons come along and you've had some back problems and some oblique injuries and your body's just not working the same way that it used to. And let's be honest, guys, you guys all know it. You watched. Matt Carpenter wasn't the most fluid athlete to begin with. He didn't have the same athletic base that someone like Nolan Arenado has, who's got smooth, fluid movements, who does everything reasonably well, and everything looks under control. It doesn't look like that for Matt Carpenter. We don't all have those same gifts athletically. He didn't have that gift of athleticism. He was a good hitter. But as soon as you start to lose the core of your body to injuries or your legs, and again, I don't think it's that hard, guys. This is when Albert started to decline. Albert started to decline in his 30s when the injuries started popping up. And, you know, it's really not that complicated to understand that once the body doesn't work the same way that it used to, it's hard as hell to get it back as you get older. So sure, the shift killed Matt Carpenter to a degree, but so did the injuries. And I know, it's not like he's ever used it as an excuse, but I mean, you can just see that the swing wasn't there. He was missing pitches that he didn't use to miss. All that, and those are things that are related to physical issues. Now, again, I'm not saying you can't ever overcome those things. Maybe he will. Maybe he'll figure something out in, you know, this offseason and get a job somewhere else. I don't know. But I've always felt like the criticism of him was unfair. Not that the poor performance didn't deserve the criticism saying, hey, get this guy out of there. Like, all right, that's fair. When a guy's not performing, there's nothing wrong with saying that. But don't try to create something that fits your own perception of the world. Like, everybody wants to turn everything into the hitting coach's problem. Or, you know, that it's too much of the modern game. Well, yeah, you know what? A lot of other guys are doing that too. And they're fine. But when you start to decline and you start to get older, you start to have physical issues, it's not as easy to do what you did before. And I think that's what we've seen with Matt Carpenter. Maybe I'll end up being wrong. Maybe he'll pop back at age 36. He'll make some radical adjustment. And, you know, because they kept saying, well, you know, just go back to hitting doubles to left center. And like, all right, well, if it was that easy, you just do it. It's not that easy, number one. I mean, if it was that easy, people would just do that kind of stuff all the time. But you have to accept the fact that, you know, these guys, when they age, they don't all age the same way. Sometimes a guy can play. I mean, you look at some guys, they're playing mid to late 30s, and they're still fine. Some guys in their early 30s, it starts to go. So, you know, I think that a lot of people got too caught up in their own agendas with this. They don't like the three true outcome baseball. They don't like that style. So that became the thing to yell about when it came to Matt Carpenter. And I would tell you, it was probably a lot more about all of the physical difficulties and, again, age. I mean, not to say that the approach doesn't matter in that. It certainly does. Absolutely. But it's also something that a lot of people are doing, and they're just fine doing it. So explain to me why it works for Joey Votto, but it doesn't work for Matt Carpenter. Well, I mean, Joey Votto is going to be a Hall of Famer, and Matt Carpenter's not, and he's probably a better player, a better hitter. But that's the point, though. You know, you can't necessarily compare one guy to another because they're not equal when it comes to talent. All right, let's get to the catching thing real quick. And I just want to get into this because I'm not going to compare Posey and Molina because I find these kinds of arguments to be ridiculous. The people that prefer offense are always going to pick the guy with the prettier numbers, you know, when it comes to catchers. The hard part about judging catchers for the Hall of Fame is that catcher defense is hard, really hard to accurately measure. You can't – if you could put – an actual number on what a guy like Molina means catching every day, you know what that means, the numbers would be staggering when you think about what that guy does in meetings and what that guy has to do for every pitch of every game when he's out there. And by the way, not just him. I mean, Posey did it too. You know, that's the point. Let's get into that defense part next here on KMOX. All right, so we're back in. To me, it's a fun topic to discuss because it's something that I pay a lot of attention to, and I have going back to really when I was in high school and I started becoming a catcher. I've been paying attention to catcher defense for a long time, from learning it back in the day to learning how to coach it over the course of the last 20, 25 years to watching how the best people do what they do. And, you know, there still isn't an adequate way to measure the impact defensively of a catcher. You can listen to their pitchers, you can listen to their teams, and they'll all tell you how important it is every single day to have that guy back there. You know you can trust him and all of that. And that, you know, with Buster Posey announcing his retirement, I mean, he's certainly that guy. You know, obviously here in St. Louis, we know Yadier Molina is that guy. There's more than one way to be a great catcher. There's more than one way to be a Hall of Fame catcher. But what's interesting to me is that when it comes down to the Hall of Fame conversation, a lot of times we start off with the offensive numbers, which is good. Okay, it's fine. Like that's a good separator. There's nothing wrong with measuring an offensive position's offensive production. But I think we weight it too heavily, and we've done this forever with the position of catcher. Again, I think it's silliness. People like, well, Posey's clearly a better Hall of Fame candidate than Molina. Look at his numbers. Well, okay, but they tell one fraction of the story. These guys, think about this. Think about all of the plate appearances they have as hitters their entire lives. They basically, let's say they average 4 at-bats a game, 4 plate appearances a game. That's 4 times you have a chance to impact the team offensively in a game. You're behind the plate for 150-plus pitches a night. Your defense is every pitch of every inning when you're the catcher. And yet, somehow, for so many years, what we've always done is run screaming toward the offensive catchers, which is great because, again, I get it. They're the unicorns, right? There's a reason why Johnny Bench is the standard bearer. And the next in line after him is probably Pudge Rodriguez because they did both. They were both middle-of-the-order bats, power producers, and they were two of the greatest defensive catchers of all time. And that's why they are the greatest, right? If you're going to look at the top two, those are probably the guys because it's the combination of the two things and also longevity. They did it for a long time. And so if you're looking at it like, okay, here's two guys that are both regarded in the same way defensively, and okay, let's break the tie. Well, then sure, offense is the tiebreaker. But there's nobody out there that would ever argue that Mike Piazza is a better player than Johnny Bench. Well, he had better numbers, though. He did. He flat out had better offensive numbers than Johnny Bench. Who's ever made that argument? Nobody. Because defense matters. And it's the much bigger part of the pie. It's a much bigger percentage of the pie than we ever acknowledge. Like I said, if these guys, so let's just say, you know, like Johnny Bench, for example, this guy had, 8,600 plate appearances in his career. How many plate appearances was he behind the plate for? 10 times that? Well, maybe 9 times that, since there are 9 spots in the order. I mean, like, that's the point. The defensive impact for a catcher is every pitch of every game. And it's different for every pitch, of course. Are there runners on base or not? You know, who's the pitcher? Does the pitcher need a little help or is he good on his own? But it changes all that. But those guys are still responsible. And it's every pitch of every game that they're out there. And we don't have a number for that. But we can tell things like with Molina. Well, I mean, you know, Cardinals have the fewest stolen base attempts against them since basically 2003. What does that tell you? Tells you the league is like, yep, don't run on Yachty. It's not going to work. And what does that do for the pitching staff? What does that do for a young starter who comes in there that now doesn't have to worry about all that because Molina's got it covered? What does that do for his performance? Well, again, it varies, but that's part of the problem, is that it can't be measured by a number. And war, defensive war, is totally inadequate for catchers. Explain a little bit more about that. We'll close things out next here on KMOX. All right, so we'll move on from, we'll move on top of the hour to some football. We've got Thursday night football coming your way here on KMOX. We'll just wrap this up with a few more thoughts on the baseball side, and then we'll get you ready for the Jets and the Colts coming up after 7 o'clock. Now, again, final thoughts on this whole Hall of Fame thing with catchers. I mean, we live in a world right now where, you know, both Buster Posey and Yadier Molina are Hall of Famers, and that's okay. And again, nobody needs to argue which is the better. You're never going to prove it. Nobody can. There are very few agreements in baseball when it comes to those types of things. I mean, it's unique that even people agree that Johnny Bench is the best of all time or whatever. I mean, there might be some people out there that argue it, but I don't really ever hear it. I mean, I pretty much heard consensus opinion. Yep, Johnny Bench is the best that's ever done it. Combined, you know, offense and defense. But it's important to understand what can't be measured. You know, and then, you know, comparing Posey and Molina, and this is one of the reasons why I tweeted what I did today, saying it basically don't take the bait. Because all it's going to be is each side throwing their own preferred argument out there. But the point is, they're different players. You can't compare them. I mean, you can compare them in the sense that they're both great. They both won. They both won World Series. They've both had great careers. But they're not the same kind of player. It's like comparing Ozzie Smith to Cal Ripken. Well, sure, they're both shortstops, but they're completely different players. Completely different players. Right? I mean, I think we would all agree that. Who would sit there and say, let's compare Ozzy with Cal? Like, it's a goofy comparison. I don't know why anybody would want to do that. mean, yeah, Ripken's the better hitter. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. I mean, you look at the power numbers and the production compared to league average, but you might be surprised at some of the comps. But yeah, I mean, look, Cal Ripken hit 400 home runs, drove in 1,700 runs, all that. But again, different player. That's, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with acknowledging that they're both Hall of Fame players. And you're not gonna win a debate between them. You could, because it's all about what people prefer. Do you want the 13-time Gold Glove winner, the guy that could chase everything down, or do you want the guy that would bat third and hit, you know, 25, 30 bombs and drive in 100? I don't know. I mean, it depends. I think everybody would have a different position on that based on how they like to construct their team. But they're both Hall of Famers. You know, Ozzie made the All-Star team 15 times. Cal made it 19 times. So it's not like they weren't already represented. And by the way, that the Cal did it played an extra few years too, just to keep that in mind. Played an extra couple, I think. And he played two more years than Ozzie did. But the point is that, yeah, they played the same position. There are some things comparable about them, but they're not the same player, and evaluating them one next to the other is kind of silliness. And that was the point for me earlier when it came to the Posey and Molina thing. Because what everybody does, and you guys know this, man, you know that there are people out there that just like to troll Cardinals fans because they don't like Yadi. And it's okay, man. It's a rivalry. They don't like the Cardinals. They don't like Yadi because the Cardinals win. And Yadi's, you know, if Yadi was on the other team, you wouldn't like him either. He's one of those guys. He's fiery. He's always got a little angry on. And when he's your guy, you love that. And when it's a guy on another team, you don't love that. But don't get drawn into it, because you can't win the argument. Because it's all about what somebody wants to see. If somebody wants to see offensive numbers, well, I mean, Buster Posey has better offensive numbers. There's no debate there. But the real issue is that it's impossible to throw the numbers out there other than Gold Gloves, right? I mean, you can mention Gold Gloves and talk about that, and that's a big deal. But it's not the same thing as having all of those same numbers offensively. Just understand that the impact of a catcher is remarkable. Like, defensively, what they have to do day in and day out. Every pitch, every batter, every game. Sometimes more important than others. Every game's a little different, you know. Every pitcher you have to handle is a little bit different. But the point is, you still got to carry that weight for 150 pitches every night. And it's not just four at-bats that we should be talking about. The weight of that person's impact is a lot heavier than four at-bats. And that's why the defensive side should be talked about more for catchers. And it should be the primary reason you evaluate someone. That's how teams look at it. Why do you think that there are bad offensive catchers all over Major League Baseball? Because they care about the defense first. Oh, sure, everybody would love to have a catcher that can hit. But they don't want a catcher that can hit at the expense of defense, because there's just too many opportunities for it to blow up in your face. Unless that guy's Mike Piazza, and there aren't very many of those ever, unless that guy's Piazza putting up, you know, stupid, you know, first baseman Hall of Fame offensive numbers, then you're not going to make that sacrifice. Nobody does. What they'll end up doing is moving that player to another position and bringing in somebody who can catch. So just keep that in mind. There's a reason why teams do what they do, because they recognize the importance of what's happening on the defensive side of the ball and how much more of an impact that has on a game-by-game basis. All right, wrapping it up for tonight. A little short show tonight. We've got Thursday Night Football coming up next. Jets and Colts after the 7 o'clock news here on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.